At that point in the movie, the narrative continues. And there you have it, my friends. Mr. Cap has given us an answer to our question, what happened to the millions of Israelites who were dispersed out of old Canaan land 7 centuries before Christ and who never returned? The answer, they migrated onto the continent of Europe and were the ancestors of the white European race. And in answering our one question about Israel's disappearance, Mr. Cap has given us the key to several other mysteries of world history. Mr. Cap has revealed to us why it was these people of Europe who became the great nations, and who were blessed by God above all other nations, not only with fertile land and abundance from the seas, but with arts, science, literature, inventions, and discovery. God bestowed upon that one race almost every invention and discovery that has improved man's condition and lot upon the earth. Certainly, God made these offspring of Abraham a blessing to all the families of the earth. Mr. Cap has answered another question, which is often asked of ministers and seldom answered. Why, of all the people of the earth, has it been only this white Caucasian race, these so-called Gentiles, who have claimed Jesus Christ as their God and who have taken the Bible as the foundation of their religion? The answer, the truth which is avoided and even denied by the clergy, is simple. These people are the Israelites, the children of Abraham, God's chosen people. And that explains why every true gospel preacher and missionary for Jesus Christ, for over 1900 years, has been of this one race. They are dispersed Israel, fulfilling Bible prophecy even while blindness in part is upon them, blindness of their own identity as the chosen Israel of God. Biblical promises have become historical facts. In the Old Testament, God had promised to regather divorced Israel unto Himself. Ezekiel 34, verses 6 and 11, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Jesus Christ made it plain He was the instrument of Israel's return to God. Luke 19:10, He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In Matthew 15:24, Jesus answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Matthew 10 and verse 6, Jesus instructed His disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke 1, Zacharias the priest, who was John the Baptist's father, said that Jesus came to redeem His people and to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware to our father Abraham. Paul, an Israelite, wrote to Israelites in the dispersion in Galatia, in Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." Only the Israelites were under God's law. In Romans 15 and verse 8 we read, "Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." These promises, as we have seen, were of great national development, a great increase in numbers, blessings of the earth and of the sea, that God would be their God and they would be His people. After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His disciples carried that good news to dispersed Israel in Europe, beginning what we know as the Christian era. For 1,500 more years, Israel remained in Europe, continuing to grow in numbers as God had promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then God began to give them inventions, one of which was the printing press, which made the Bible available to all of the people, bringing with it the age of enlightenment, the Reformation, and the Age of Discovery. A new continent to the west, a new world, was discovered by Columbus and other explorers. Persecution of Christians in Europe began a migration to the new world that began as a trickle and later became a flood. 2,500 years before, while Israel was still in Palestine, God had told King David in 2 Samuel 7:10, "I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." The prophet Isaiah and others who had written of Israel's regathering made it plain Israel would be regathered into a new land as Christian believers. In Isaiah 11:12 we read, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Verse 1 through 10 identify that ensign as Jesus Christ, and verse 14 indicates their regathering would be toward the west. Psalm 72 and Zechariah 9 describe that land of Israel's regathering as a land between two seas, and one that would run to the ends of the earth. In Hosea 2:14, God prophesied to cast off Israel, "Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her." Our pilgrim fathers, who were Christian Israelites from Europe and who knew God's promises, called this North American continent the wilderness and New Canaan land. They said they had come hither to establish the kingdom of God. God turned Israel from Antichrist in Europe, and God brought them one of a city and two of a family, and he brought them to Zion. As he said in Jeremiah 3:14 and 15, "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." In America's early histories, they called themselves this wandering race of Jacobites, a vine out of Egypt, and the seed of Abraham. They named their children with Israel names, and God blessed them above their fathers in Europe. America is that land, new Israel. America is the nation born in a day, on July 4, 1776, exactly the prophesied 2,520 years after Israel had gone into the Assyrian captivity. In America, God fulfilled Isaiah 60 and verse 22, "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." It is here that is fulfilled Deuteronomy 33 and verse 13, the promise to Joseph, "Blessed of the Lord be his land." It is in America that Isaiah 35 is fulfilled, "The wilderness and the solitary place was glad for them, and the desert rejoiced, and blossomed as the rose." It is in this North American wilderness that waters have broken out and streams in the desert. America and Beulah land, America truly is God. The heathen look at America and say, "Certainly, they are a seed which the Lord hath blessed." Isaiah 49 and verse 6. America is the nation from which the light of God's word has gone to the ends of the earth. You who are descendants of the people we have traced in the Bible and in history are Israelites, heirs according to the promise, and the Bible is about you and your race. Do not take what you have heard lightly. True to his promise to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel has redeemed us with his own blood. He has kept his word to our fathers. He will most certainly keep his promise with us, their children, of the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. I believe the time has come when God is casting down all lies, exposing the false prophets, and revealing the truth to his Israel people. The key to understanding the Bible is the truth that we are Israelites, redeemed by Jesus Christ, heirs of the promise, Abraham's children. This is Pastor Emery. In the last two broadcasts, you have heard most of the narrative of our 42-minute sound and color movie. The movie demonstrates the truth that we Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples of Europe are the true descendants of Israel, and that North America is the land of Israel's regathering. If you will write to me today, I will send you a free printed copy of the entire movie text and information on how you may see the movie itself, perhaps even show it in your own church. The announcer will give my address in just a moment. Write and ask for the movie packet. Today, the great Israel nation of America is surrounded and invaded by the red communist antichrist forces of Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38 and 39, as God gathers the nations of the earth for the battle of Armageddon. The wicked of the earth, who are the enemies of Jesus Christ, have grown strong and arrogant in this Israel land. They have infiltrated our schools, the news media, even churches and government, in their attempt to keep you in ignorance of your identity as Israelites. They are attempting to steal your heritage, that they may conquer America and take rule over the whole earth. But God Almighty has decreed the destruction of those who hate Jesus Christ and His true Israel people. In the last battle they shall be defeated, we shall be delivered, and the earth will be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ and the great kingdom age. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Stay tuned for my address. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for America, Israel. This is Pastor Emery. Almost everyone who reads the Holy Bible will agree that it was written by, to, and about Israelites. Isn't it surprising, then, to realize that the race which reads, prints, and distributes the Holy Bible, and claims it as its divinely inspired religious book, is not the Jews, whom most ministers insist are the Israelites, but is instead the members of the white race of Europe? Is it possible the Jews aren't Israelites after all, but that instead you folks whose ancestors come from Europe are the true descendants of the Israelites? What a different picture that would make of the Bible, of current history, and of prophecy. Stay tuned. In the letter to the Romans, Paul refers to his kinsmen according to the flesh in verse 3 of chapter 9, and then he says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. That verse seems to be a rather complete statement that the entire message of the Bible is directed to the Israelites. Let's take each phrase and analyze it briefly. To whom pertaineth the adoption? This refers to the process by which men become the true sons of God. Now, men of different races and nations today are claiming they have been born again, and that in being born again, they are the spiritual sons of God. But if you will read all of the references in the New Testament to this process of men becoming the sons of God, you will find they all refer in some way to Israelites and to no other people. Turn to Galatians 4, where verse 5 says, in part, that we might receive the adoption of sons. However, to understand who the we are in that phrase, we must remember that the writer, Paul, was an Israelite. So let's read both verse 4 and 5 written by this Israelite. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, meaning we who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Only Israelites, of all the world's people, were ever under God's law. In fact, only Israelites are promised redemption in the Bible. In Ephesians, we again come across the phrase, the adoption, in verse 5 of the first chapter. Let's read part of the passage, Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, Paul uses the collective term us, obviously meaning us Israelites. And if you read the entire chapter, it is also obvious that it is Israelites who were predestinated, in other words, destined beforehand to be the children or sons of God. This, and scores of prophecies in the Old Testament, testify that it was Israelites who would be the followers of God in the last age. And yet for the last 1900 years, of the many millions who have claimed sonship to Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, 99% of them have been of the white race of Europe, whom modern ministers claim are not Israelites. Is the Bible in error? Did God make a mistake? Or are the ministers in error in not knowing these Europeans are descendants of ancient Israel? Turn back to Romans 9. We read verse 4 where the phrase, to whom pertaineth the adoption is. Let's consider the second phrase in verse 4. And the glory, meaning that something called the glory also pertains to Israel. The words glory, glorify, glorified, and glorious are used several hundred times in the Bible, so we can't read them all. However, scores of them make it plain that it is in Israel that God will be glorified. Here are a few. Isaiah 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Isaiah 46, verse 13. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. There, Israel is called directly the glory of God. In Isaiah 48, God is rebuking Israel for her wickedness. Then he says this in verse 9, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Israel had sinned enough to deserve total destruction. But God is saying that for his own, or for God's sake, he will not destroy Israel. He goes on, verse 10 and 11, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? God says, in effect, Israel, I could destroy you for your sin, but I will not do so because I have chosen to give my glory to you, and for my own name's sake, for my reputation, as it were, I will not go back on my word, and I will not transfer my glory to another people. That promise that God would not forsake Israel for another people is why Paul would write 7 centuries later in Romans 11, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Paul knew, as we should, that whatever promises and covenants God had made with the Israelites would be kept, and whatever prophecies were made about them would most certainly come to pass. One of these prophecies was that God would not give his glory to any other people but Israel. Here are a few more about that glory. Isaiah 49, verse 3. Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. In verse 6 of that same chapter, God says that Israel would be, quote, my salvation unto the end of the earth. Israel would be the carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation of the world, to the ends of the earth. In what race and in what people has that been fulfilled? Most ministers will admit that it is this white Anglo-Saxon race which has done this, but they call them Gentiles and insist they are non-Israelites. I say no. That prophecy has been and is being fulfilled in Israelites, Anglo-Saxon Israel, the true race of Israel. In Isaiah 59 and verse 20 we read, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Then listen to what he says of Israel. Verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, that my spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God is saying that Israelites would have God's word then and forever. If we believed God, we would be able to find Israel in the world today by simply looking for the people who have His word. And who are they? Any fool can find them. They stick out like a sore thumb among the nations. They are the white, Anglo-Saxon, and kindred peoples of Europe, North America, South Africa, and Australia. They alone, of all the races of the earth, print, distribute, preach, profess, claim and hold on to the Bible, the Word of God. You can travel from America to Europe, to the subcontinent of Asia, to the jungles of Africa, and to the isles of the sea. And wherever you come across any group of this race, and I am not including the Jews, wherever you find this race, you will find if they practice any religion at all, or profess to believe in any god, it will always and forever be the religion of the Israelite Bible and the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Is that all coincidence? That we seem to be a people of one religion, the true religion of the Bible Israelites, or is it another of the hundreds of proofs that we must really be the Israel people? God goes right on to Israel. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. When all of the world would lie in the darkness of false religion and idol worship, where would God's glory be seen? Well, upon Israel, in spite of our own sin and ignorance, in spite of blindness in part of our own identity as Israel, the whole heathen world can see the light of God's glory only upon our nation and the other nations occupied by the white European race, the race of Israel. We already read Isaiah 46 and verse 13 where God called Israel my glory. Let's turn back to the New Testament. Romans 8, verse 28, the first part of this is often quoted to justify some strange event which has eventually turned out for the good of Christians. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and they usually stop there. However, the rest of that verse and the following verses identify the people for whom all things work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. So someone here is being identified as, quote, the called. Who are they? Read right on. We'll find they are Israelites. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, Now, who did God foreknow? We've already seen it is Israelites. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So here is answered the question, what people in this age were to become the Christians, the sons of God, for whom all things would work out according to their good? Well, the people God foreknew, the Israelites. He goes on, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here it is plain that those who would become Christians would be brethren, and probably brethren of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. In other words, the people of Israel, which we are. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. The people who would be called to Christ would be those who were predestined to become the sons of God. We've seen from Ephesians that was the Israelites. And from Romans 9:4, we've already seen it was Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, or the adoption as sons, or the act of becoming Christians. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So here we've come around to that word again, glory or glorified, and always and forever it is used in relation only to God and to the Israelites. In verse 33 of Romans 8, these called ones are called God's elect. In Isaiah 45, in verse 4, God calls the descendants of Jacob, Israel, mine elect. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20 is also a very familiar verse to Christians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is a certain reference to God Almighty, of course. And then follows the conclusion of that sentence, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Where would the glory of God be manifested in all ages? Here it says, in the church. And we've been reading, it would be in Israel. Let's see if we can reconcile those two words. The word church here comes from the Greek word ekklesia or ecclesia, as some pronounce it. It means literally the called ones. That is exactly the term used for Israel in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 48, immediately following God's statement that he would give his glory only to Israel and would not give it to another, we read this, Isaiah 48, verse 12, hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. The disciples and writers of the New Testament knew that Israelites were the called ones, so it was just natural they would call these Israelite Christians ecclesia, or the called ones. Today we use the English word church for an assembly of called ones, not knowing it is the exact equivalent of the Greek and Hebrew words by which the Bible designates Israel. Turn to Acts 7. Here Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is preaching the sermon which so angered the Jews that they stoned him to death. In speaking of Israel after they left Egypt, he calls that whole body of the Israel people the ecclesia in the wilderness. It is translated here, the church in the wilderness. So Israel was the church of God at Sinai, just as Israelites made up the New Testament church after Jesus, and Israelites constitute 99% of the professing church of God today. Ministers who refer today to the body of believers as, quote, the Gentile church, will tell their listeners they call it that because most Christians today are not Israelites. Nothing could be further from the truth. No non-Israelitish church was ever prophesied in the Bible, nor has any such church come to pass. The church of today is exactly what it was prophesied to be, an Israelite church. Another English word for church is congregation. In the Old Testament, Israel is called the congregation over 250 times, many times the phrase being the congregation of the Lord. Any investigation of Bible terms will prove that all of the words used in both the Old and the New Testament, which mean church or called ones, or which relate to the church, pertain to Israelites. All right, the next phrase in Romans 9 and verse 4 says, "And the covenants," by which Paul meant that the covenants of the Bible also pertain to Israel. This is not arguable, and is easily understood by any person with a speaking acquaintance with our Bible. America's Promise radio broadcast has made a movie dealing with these covenants of the Bible. The title of it is Heirs of the Promise, Abraham's Children. It is about 45 minutes long in sound and color, and is a documentary Bible study of just what God Almighty promised and covenanted to Abraham, to Isaac, then to Jacob, and to the Israel people. Our movie examines the Bible history of Israel, then the breakup of the Israel kingdom after David and Solomon, the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, and the dispersion of the Israel people out of old Palestine several hundred years before Christ. Using archaeology, history, and Bible prophecy, the movie demonstrates to the audience the truth that vast numbers of Israelites migrated onto the continent of Europe in the centuries before Christ. Because they had broken their covenant made with God at Mount Sinai, they lost the name of Israel, which means ruling with God, and are recorded in history by the names given to them by Persian, Greek, and Roman historians. We know them as Saka, Danans, Massagathae, Cimmerians, Cimri, Celts, Scythians, Goths, Vandals, Germans, Saxons, and a dozen other names of European history. Those of us who have studied the disappearance of Israel at the same time and the same place where this Caucasian race suddenly appeared now know these people were Israelites. That is what the movie shows, that although the conditional covenants of Mount Sinai were broken by Israel, the unconditional covenants God made with Abraham can never be broken. And it is because of those covenants that God has fulfilled in our people those promises of great increase in numbers, great blessings, and that He would be our God and we would be His people. I spend many hours every year on this radio trying to get some of the proof that we are Israel across to my listeners. Our movie, Heirs of the Promise, convinces most of its viewers of that truth in less than 45 minutes. So I am going to give you my address now, where you can write to me for a free movie packet. It will include a printed text of the entire movie narrative, plus some of the migration maps, and it will include information on how you can arrange to see the movie itself. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All of that information and a few other tracts are free for the asking. Just write to that address and ask for the free movie packet. You will see, as Paul did, that the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises all pertain to our people Israel. And you will see also That as verse 5 of Romans 9 says, it was to Israel that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. Where you find Jesus Christ worship, you will find Israel. And once you begin to understand that, then the current gathering of all nations of the world under the red banner of Antichrist communism against America and against the other white nations suddenly comes into focus. Why are the Antichrists making war against the white race? Well, they know we are Israel, and they know they must destroy our race in order to destroy God's work upon the earth. The truth that we are Israel is the key to understanding the Bible, current world events, and what we can expect to happen in the future. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian Israel in America.